Hey parents, this is a little ears warning. Jesus is the most radical redeemer and restorer, but this podcast may contain some topics which are not appropriate for little ears. So if there are little ears around, you might want to pop in some headphones or hit the pause button right now and pick it up at another time. Jesus be glorified through these testimonies.
Guys, welcome to our very last podcast for Win Our World series. And first of all, I just want to say a massive congratulations to you, because we have been hearing so many stories about many people sharing for the very first time. And I have personally been so encouraged, and I know many people, like, as we've just shared stories, we've been so encouraged. So good on you for people stepping out of the box, doing something a little scary. But yeah, the fruit that we have seen and that we're hearing about has been incredible. One of my friends was actually joking that every podcast they listen to, they count the number of wows that I say. And I didn't realize I was even doing it, but it is truly the awe and wonder of Jesus and the message of salvation and what he is doing in our nation at this time that leads me to say wow so many times. But we thought the best way to end this would be to hear testimonies of people who have been sharing in the recent weeks as we've been leaning into this space, because we've been asking you guys to send your testimonies in, and you have been. So thank you. And what a better way than to share some of those today. So I'm not going to talk anymore, because we want to hear about what's been happening. And I just want to encourage us that no matter what has happened while you've shared, whether it's been a seed planted and someone hearing the name of Jesus for the very first time, or whether it's a watering on someone who's, oh yeah, I kind of know Jesus, but don't really know him, and you've just brought him into the picture again, whether it's a watering of the seed or whether it's been a harvest, someone who's given their life to Jesus, it all is making a difference for the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, Holy Spirit is the only one that his kindness leads us to repentance. Like, he is the one who draws people unto Jesus. And so that's not our job. Our job is just to be obedient. And so many great testimonies have come just from simple obedience by everyday kind of people like us. So, all right, we're going to jump right in. We're going to start maybe with you, Jess. So maybe, Jess, you can share a little bit about who you are, and then you can just share a testimony that's happened recently when you have shared Jesus with someone, not shared with Jesus.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's part of the process.
He is.
Yeah, I'd love to. So I have the privilege of leading our university's ministry here at NEMA Melbourne City. And it's just been so fun. Like, my day-to-day is coming alongside uni students and equipping them, discipling them. And I love just seeing people step up and pray and evangelize for the first time.
We actually have prayer meetings going in every major university in Melbourne at the moment. So if you're a uni student, get on it.
And prayer is, like, so, so powerful. Sometimes we undervalue the power of prayer, but we've seen even from intercession, then the next thing breaks out. So always bring prayer as the first thing.
It's what it's like in the book of Acts, right? I mean, it talks about when they gather literally together and pray, and then 3,000 were added. Like, Holy Spirit comes in 3,000.
Yeah. And it's like the partnership of prayer and action, which is awesome. Yeah, I mean, so obviously I do a lot of evangelizing in that role and in the things that I do, and it's kind of been my testimony my whole life.
Yes, you were evangelizing long before you worked at church, had a role, anything like that.
Yeah, so it's kind of always been a thing. It's always been something that is highly valued in our family. And you, if anyone's listened to my parents share their testimony on here as well, because they both got saved through evangelism, someone personally inviting them, it's always been one of the highest valued things in our family. So always been a part of my life. But I will just say that even just listening to this podcast and coming around testimonies over the past few weeks has really stirred me in a deeper level. It's like sometimes it's gotten, and I do believe there is a discipline to evangelism, but sometimes it's gotten hard almost, where I've, like, just trying to force things to happen because it's like I should be doing it, rather than actually coming from a place of partnership with the Holy Spirit. And I think hearing a lot of testimonies of people's stories where the Lord has just given them a word of knowledge and the right thing has come through has stirred my faith to believe for more of that and realize that, like, of course the Lord wants me to do it, but also he's coming with me on the journey.
Yeah.
He's not just saying go and then, you know, staying back, but he's coming. So I'll share a quick story from this week. I have really been praying. Like, I love to pray for the sick, but if I'm completely honest, haven't seen many healings recently, and I've really felt the Lord just keep pushing me to just keep praying for people, even though I haven't seen the healings.
I think Todd White talks about like how many hundreds, if not thousands of people that he prayed for before he saw the first person healed. I was so encouraged by that because sometimes it feels like, am I doing this wrong? Like, why is this not happening?
Yeah.
But he just talked about being faithful and obedient with the like next person, next person, next person. And then it was like something broke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was, for me, it was a challenge of faith of like, well,
yes.
if I step out and pray and they don't get healed, that can happen. If I don't step out and pray, they're definitely not going to get healed. So it's kind of like, what have I got
good.
To lose?
Yes.
You know? So really was praying. I was like, Lord, you know, give me more opportunities, but also like, I want to see people healed, like share my faith. So on Tuesday this week, I was visiting a student at RMIT, actually, just catching up with her. And then I was walking back to my car and I passed a student accommodation building. And it's one that, like, we have relationship with the owners of or, like, the managers of some of these buildings. So I was kind of like, I don't want to go in there and talk to someone and kind of ruin a relationship that we've been building. But anyway, I walked past and I felt prompt of the Lord to go in and talk to the guy and the girl that were sitting at the reception. And I wrestled because I was like,
it's good. Oh, yeah, it's real. Like, it's real.
Even though I really was like in that mindset of I really want to go and share. So I kind of said to the Lord, all right, give me something to go with. Like,
yes.
Give me a word.
Holy Spirit, you're the helper. Help me.
Help me. Yes. And I just immediately thought of a sore back. And I was like, oh, I just made that up. Like, I didn't even believe that was the thing. So I was like, okay, give me something else, Lord. And I had a few other pictures, but I just knew that the Lord was like, step out and then I'll give you the rest. Mm-hmm. He's done that to me before. So I'm like, okay. Anyway, I walk up to the door. The door doesn't open because it's like, you got to ring a doorbell. Yeah. And it's like, again, I just share all this to just be completely real. Like,
totally.
It was like, oh, there's another obstacle. Will I walk away
it's
now?
It's so real.
The conviction was so real. So
thanks
pressed
for that,
the
Lord.
Doorbell. They opened the door. I went up to the reception. I was like, hey, super random. I was just walking past. I was praying to Jesus and I felt like I needed to come in and talk to you guys. And before I could stop myself, I looked at the girl dead in the eyes and I was like, do you have a sore back?
Wow.
And she was like, me? And then her friend, she looked at her friend and he looked at her and he was like, she's been complaining all week about it.
And I was like, no way, Jesus. Lord.
No way.
Wow.
And then it was actually funny, right in that moment, the lady that I know that is a manager like walks out and was like, oh, hey, Jess, I thought I heard your voice. And I was like, go away. Anyway, but then I went back to the girl and just said, hey, like, can I pray for you? And she was like, oh, yeah, of course. Like, what do I need to do? So just you know, I put my hand on her back, prayed for her really quickly. And then I was like, oh, can you test that? And she goes, well, I wasn't in pain right at this moment. But I just said to her, just like touch your toes or something.
Yeah, do something.
She touches her toes and then she stands up and she was like, I can't usually do that. And then she's wait a minute, like all the stiffness that I've been feeling sitting here is completely gone.
So
and
good.
I was like, yes. So I was so excited. And then from there, I had the opportunity to actually share the gospel with her.
Great.
And she was just like, wow. I grew up in an Anglican school, but I just had never really like heard about this.
So
and I was
wild.
Like, well, God really loves you. He's thinking about you to even send me. And I was just so thankful. Not only to have the opportunity to share with her, but also that the Lord was so personal and detailed to tell me like what she was struggling with and then to speak into her life and how open she was.
And even to give you the boldness in the minute of when you're like, oh, I don't know. And then I'm like, I just looked her dead in the eyes. Like that for me is like the Holy Spirit just gave me the boldness to be like, okay, do you have the back like issue that I was just seeing? Like we need the Holy Spirit, hey?
Yeah. And it's like, I've done a lot of like evangelizing without the Holy Spirit. And I think it's like,
wow,
it's
that's
good
a good
to
point,
have,
Jess.
Like that conviction to do it.
Yes.
And sometimes we use the Holy Spirit.
Yes, as an excuse.
To
it's,
not
true.
Do it.
It's true. It's true.
But I think what I've really learned in this whole season is actually like partnering with the Holy Spirit to do it. Like my conviction is already I'm going to evangelize.
Yeah, come on.
Now it's Holy Spirit, how, who, why, when. Yeah. Like it can't be like,
so good, Jess.
Do I get off the couch or not? It's like you're already up. So I think he works with us when we're already moving.
It's
and
so true.
That was, for me, one, but like there's many other testimonies like that.
So good. Yeah. What I love about that testimony festival is like the realness of the struggle. Yeah. And like for anyone who knows you, like it looks, and I say this, like it looks easy for you, but it it's not easy for most of us. Like I even like when we're talking with Pastor Shree, like, yeah, I was like, oh, and that is real. Like we all have that. We just kind of are like lean on the Holy Spirit in those moments of like, okay, like help me. And that choice, I think you talked about free will of like, okay, I'm going to press the button. This is another opportunity where I can either press into God or I can be like, oh, and walk away. So we kind of have free will, but then we can rest on like the boldness of the Holy Spirit to help us like when we take that step. Yeah. I love it. And I love also that you say like, so when we see like words of knowledge, which is what you, so Pastor Shree actually, I think online has a whole teaching of actually how to use like the gifts in evangelism. So like word of knowledge in evangelism. So if you haven't sort of float in that gift or use that, jump online and be equipped. But that kind of opens faith, right, in someone's heart. It's like in the room, oh my gosh, my back's been healed. This Jesus could be real. Like this has happened. And now it's this openness to actually receive the gospel.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to know the back healed is awesome, but we want to actually tell them like why Jesus sent them, why Jesus sent you in that moment to work through you to heal their back.
Yeah.
So we need to be ready to give a testimony of who he is and be able to actually speak about the gospel correctly.
Yeah.
Like, why did Jesus come?
Yeah.
Why did he die? That he rose again, that he sent his Holy Spirit, all of that stuff. So it's important to have that fresh in your mind because I feel like we're like, yeah, I know the gospel. And then it's like, okay, articulate this. We're like, oh, yeah. That's true. And then you've got like people that don't, like you don't know and it gets a lot. So, yeah, again, there's training online for that. So jump on it. Make sure you can recite it quickly under pressure or in a few minutes when you're like in a lift or like the person's like, we got to go now. You're like, 1 second, I just got to like. It's important. So I love those things. I love that you shared the realness of it. Yeah, and this the prompting in your everyday life. You're walking back to the car. It wasn't like you were, you know, in the middle of a revival meeting. It's just like normal life,
yeah.
Normal life.
Yeah.
Love it. You are very inspiring, my friend, and very grateful for all that you do in our universities in Melbourne, truly. All right, so some other friends of yours that I met just for the first time today, which is kind of cool, Ruth and Joshua, thanks for coming.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So maybe I want to hear from you guys next a little bit. Ruth, we were just hearing that you are a uni student.
Yes.
What are you studying?
I'm studying Diploma of Nursing at RMIT.
Diploma of Nursing, come yes. on. Holy Spirit-filled nurses. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
And you are, so you're at RMIT and also part of prayer that happens in our universities.
Yeah.
It's like, yes. We need more of that, Lord. And had you been sharing, do you share Jesus like often? Have you been sharing Jesus often? What does this look like for you in this season?
So like as soon as I moved into Melbourne and I got into Yuma, I met Jess like so miraculously. Like the way we met, it was literally so random. Like Aww. It was so random. And ever since I met her, like she like pushed me to start sharing my faith and would usually go for prayer walks. And from there, it has just been growing. And when I moved to Bandura, because I was previously in the city, it was really hard. And just one day, really random again, like I don't know, like I was just like, wait, why don't we share Jesus at RMIT Bandura? And then Jess was just like, yeah, let's do it. And we just started
so
going out for prayer walks at RMIT.
Wow.
And I would go, like I've had like few of off weeks, I wouldn't even lie, because like that place, Jesus. I'm like, God, take control, because like it's really scary. And like most of the times there's like a whole lot of rejection. But like over the last few weeks, I've like gone back and I've been sharing, and even if there's been rejections and a whole lot of rejections, I've just been like, yeah, it's fine. They're not rejecting me, they're rejecting Jesus. And I'm just like pushing with what I have and like just trying to share like what I know and like the faith that has brought me this far.
Preach, girl, preach.
Yeah. And yes, one very recent one, like yesterday.
Oh, come on.
Honestly, usually I just feel like this is like my time for prayer walk, and then I would like just share Jesus at that time. But like yesterday, I was just trying to charge my phone because like the battery was really low, and I just went into a cafe and I was like, can I just charge my phone here? And the lady who attended to me, she was so nice, and like I just felt the Holy Spirit be like, could you like just tell her about me? And I was like, I just want to charge my phone. I just want to charge my phone, and I just want to like just leave you over there. And I was like, okay, just asking, like, have you met Jesus? Like, do you know Jesus? And she was like, I'm not really a believer. I believe everything. Yeah. So like, if anyone tells me anything, I'll just say yes. But like, I don't like follow one religion. And I was like, okay, wow. Well, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus, and he loves you. And she was like, yeah, thank you. I've heard that before. And I was just like, okay, honestly, I just want to pray for you. And she was like, I only like let people pray for me when I have something that I need, because I don't want to bother God. And I was like, aww. Oh wow, okay, that's like a nice heart, but like I just still want to pray for you. And like, yeah, do what you want. And so like I just prayed for her, and yeah, after praying for her, she was like, oh, thank you so much for the prayer. You're so kind. And like she was like, she felt like so much peace. Wow. And I was like, oh, that's so good. Did you want to like chat more about Jesus? And she was like, no, thank you. But like, thank you for the prayer as well. And so yeah, I felt like that was so good, because like she has a very pure heart. And I felt like maybe I'm just like one of the people that God's going to use to like talk to her. And I'm pretty sure she'll like meet someone else that finally lead her to Jesus. Yeah. And yeah, I think that's the most important thing about like trying to share your faith. Like, you don't have to be the one to like actually get them to be saved, because like there's like a whole lot more other people that are still going to go to them and share your faith with them, and then like they would actually be saved, like really finally, like God actually gets the one, the one that he wants. Like, he said if I want you, I'm going to get you. So, like, there's nothing you're going to do. He's going to send so many people, and he's actually still going to get them. So, yeah.
Ruth, that's awesome. I love your persistence. And I love that you've partnered, like, prayer and evangelism together. Like, Jess was saying, like, starting from that posture of just like, okay, Holy Spirit, like, what are you doing? Coming in tune with what he's doing, even in your university. And I love that you were like, okay, that's great, but can I still, like, pray for you? Like, in the very loving, but, like, very persistent way, because I think the Lord is persistent, like you were just saying, he's going to get you. And so true what you said, like it's not about the outcome of like what happens in that moment. Like, even the times where you're saying that you like you're not rejected, but the gospel is rejected when you share, that it's like it's your obedience, that's the thing that the Lord has asked. And we never know, like even when people say oh, no, I'm good, or yeah, whatever, or thank you. Like, I remember one young lady sharing here, she'd come to know Jesus through, someone that she'd met through a friend of a friend, like some relationship. Anyway, she was just talking about it. She's like, I didn't even think Christians were alive still. She's like, I thought they like were like a dead, like it was a dead religion, dead, like they didn't exist anymore. I was like, oh my God, like lives in Melbourne. I was like, this is, God, we've got some work to do. Like, that's like a lot. So whether it's just like, people realizing that like, hey, there are people who like believe Jesus, follow Jesus. Even our demeanor, like, you know, you're saying you just smiled at someone. We're showing a testimony off camera. I was like, smiled at someone, they smiled back. It's like even small things, we never know, like we literally never know what God's going to do. Even if there is a rejection of the gospel, like you perfectly articulated, it's not a rejection of us, it's a rejection of the gospel and of Jesus, but we still never know what he's going to do in those spaces. That's so good. Do you have anything else you want to share? That's an awesome testimony.
I would say like with my classmates, my close classmates.
Yeah.
Previously, like when I started, I would walk around campus. Like I would go everywhere but my class. Like I would go everywhere but my classmates. Like I'm like, wherever you want me to go, I would go. But you see, my classmates, no way. Yeah. I don't want, like, it was just like, I just felt like, I don't know, but I was scared to talk to them about God, because like I didn't want them to be like, oh, see that girl, she's like the Christian in this class. But then like, I was so scared. But then like this semester, actually, like it was like it just actually started to show. I didn't even have to say anything. Like, and I had like some of them come to me and be like, you're Christian. And then like I actually like had one girl come to me and she was like, I don't like, this is like, I'm not like you. like the difference between us is that you're Christian, I'm a Christian too, but then like you're like a Christian. Okay. And I'm like, you can be a Christian too. And then like I feel like just like small things, like studying together, and sometimes when we're studying together and we have assessment, I'll just be like, guys, I think this is like too hard and too much for us. I'm just gonna pray. Yeah. And then like sometimes some of them will be like, no, I don't think I want the prayer. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like there was this one guy, this one time, we're like all studying together. And then like I was just like, guys, nah, I can't do this one anymore. And then like one of the girls was just like, yeah, I don't think I can do it anymore. And I'm like, okay, yes, let's pray. And then they were just like, yeah, you do the prayers. And then I'm like,
you
yeah,
do
sure.
the prayers.
And then like I just like prayers, just like, God, just help us with this one. And like it was like just like that.
Yeah,
and
come on.
This one guy was like, I don't want to be part of this prayer. And I was like, oh yeah, that's fine. Just sit there. And then just like, yeah. I'm just gonna talk, and you're just gonna, you didn't even have to listen, do what you want. And so like after the assessment that we had, all of us passed, and then he came to me and he was like, no, during the assessment, after the assessment, he was like, I'm not sure what I did. We're like, all like, we're not sure what we did. And when the results came out, we actually all passed. And then he came to me and he was like, I think it was the prayer. And wow. I was like, it was the prayer. It was the prayer. And then like, I know they're not coming to church and everything, but I think that they have like a knowledge of Jesus, and they know who God is.
Come on.
And then like, if they need prayer, they would actually like be like, oh, could you like pray for this? And I was like, oh yeah, I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but like, I believe in God. And then like, whatever God wants to do, he's going to do it. So yeah, I think that's...
Ruth, that's awesome. It's so true too, because it's sometimes the hardest, like with our own... I remember like my own workplace, it took me like so long in my corporate workplace to be like, okay, I'm gonna share here, and like, and then they're like, what are you doing on the weekend? I was like, here it is, okay, Jesus. I was like, well, I'm doing this, and I'm going to church. And I was like, the first time, I'm like, oh really, like, yeah, what church you go to? I was like, okay, we're having the conversation. But sometimes I don't know whether it's that, or like even your own family sometimes, like if you come from a non-Christian family, but like sometimes the home ground can be the hardest one. Hey, but I love how you were just like, all right, I'm just going to use the circumstance and the situation that happens. Like the study group right now, it's going to happen. And like, yeah, you can, don't worry, you don't need to be part of the prayer. Like, you know, we don't want Jesus loves people. Like, so we want to be loving. And then that's the very person that comes back and is like, I think your prayer maybe worked. Never know what's going to happen. Yes, you never know what he's going to do. Yes. Ruth, that's amazing. So inspiring. Very much so. All right, Joshua, your turn. Hit us up. Are you also a uni student?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what are you studying?
So I'm at Deakin and I'm doing a bachelor's in film and TV.
Film and TV. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so you are – that's Jared. Jared's on our camera here. He's the behind-the-scenes man. He is – film and TV is exactly what he did. So exciting. Yeah. You'll have that conversation after. And how many years is this? How many years
so
do you stay for?
This will be around 3 years.
3 years.
So it'll end in 2027. So yeah.
Come on. Do you have a heart? Like, has God given you a heart for something specific in this area?
Yeah, that's a good question. But like something within post-production. So like editing. And yeah, I'm a big fan of The Chosen. So
I think it's a brilliant show. So amazing.
Something in that field. That'd be great.
So good, Joshua. All right. Great. So has sharing Jesus been like a normal part of your life, something that you've been doing more recently?
Something more recently, but I was raised in a Christian family.
Great. Yeah.
So
come on.
Literally
moms
like,
and dads.
Yeah. So like my mom and dad would like literally play like worship music all the time. So like I was literally like, we would just worship Jesus. That's how we would be like in church, coming home. And I think it was really essential to my upbringing. And I think also with this hobby of like, you know, like being more creative with the film side and stuff like that. But really supportive parents. And I think it's because of them that I actually came to faith quite early. So I think after that, sharing Jesus was something more recently, I think coming here.
Yeah.
So I think like coming here, people are saying that, you know, like you're going there for God's destined you to be there for a specific reason. I was like, okay, but I just didn't know what. But I think evangelism was something I was thinking about for a while, but didn't know how to approach it.
Totally. My story too, man.
And then the thing is, I would like watch these videos online of this father and son duo that actually would go onto campuses across America
wow.
and preach the gospel.
Wow.
They still do to this day. So like you can just search them up, Stuart and Cliff Connect there. So like
do it.
They're amazing.
Yes,
I mean, like, I kind of look up to them in the way that when they preach about Jesus,
yeah.
they're willing to, I wouldn't say debate, but like show students that this is the truth. This
yeah.
is the actual thing that you need to see and follow, yeah. because
so good.
The ways of this world will not last forever. So I think after watching a lot of his videos, I'm like, man, this seems interesting. Like,
yeah.
I would want to like get equipped and
yeah.
also preach Jesus to people. So
come
I think
on.
Coming here, and then I think very similar story to Ruth.
Yeah.
Met Jess.
Yeah.
He met her for a
talk. Met Jess.
Yeah. Like how all the stories start. And we met on campus and we had a coffee, and then like she was like, oh, you know, we're going to start prayer on campus.
Yeah.
Would you love to be a part of that? And I was like, yeah, sure. I think that'll be great. You know,
yeah.
just to still be in the faith.
Yeah.
And we start praying a lot, and sometimes Jess would join us. And, you know, if you would have time in the end, go on these prayer walks, evangelize
yeah.
to people, share how good Jesus has been.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after that, I think it kind of sparked a little bit more on to share more about Jesus.
Yeah.
I think with my friends,
yeah.
I think they're not even Christians. So
yeah.
like one of them's an atheist, one of them's a Muslim,
yeah.
and another's also Christian, but he doesn't even go to church.
Yeah.
But then two of them are my roommates. So then like,
oh,
I would like, they would like see me every Sunday go to church. And they would be like, you know, like every Sunday we want to do something, but then you're just at church. And I was like, yeah, I can't miss church. I actually put that out to them. So like, I put the invite out to them, to come to church, but then they were like, yeah, one day.
Yeah.
We'll definitely see it.
Yeah.
But not anytime soon. And I think one thing that we all had in common was music.
Yes.
So like I play the drums. One of them plays the keys really well.
Amazing.
Another one plays the guitar.
Yeah.
And also another friend of ours also, he plays the acoustic guitar. So like we would normally
got a band there together.
Yeah. So like we used to be really regular. Like we used to go like almost every week, book out the music room on campus.
So good.
Play some songs. Awesome. Mostly a lot of these secular songs. But then I think there was this one time where they were like, oh, we don't know what to sing right now. We don't know what to play. I was like, let me just put a Christian song out there. So like I think we played one of Elevation Worship's songs, and then like they weren't concerned about the lyrics. They were like, they really liked the key that
yeah.
it was being played in, how it was composed and stuff
wow.
like that. And then we just played, and I recorded a video, and I was like, I sent back to my family, and they're like, man, we were just praying about this, like to actually share Jesus to your friends.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I think that was really good. And I think that same week on a Sunday, one of my roommates that actually moved out came back into campus to like just hang out with us for a while. And I think that same Sunday they were like, Joshua did ask us to go to church, like why don't we just go? And then normally I take the public transport, and then like all four of them were like, yeah, but we're deciding to come to church. Like, let's come to church this time with you. And we were like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I was actually praying about it, but then like I was to really see like it's in front of me.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
They
totally.
Want to come in.
Actually, and they're like, oh, maybe like one day in the far off distance we might come, and then now it's
it
like,
actually came
come.
A lot more sooner. So like,
wow,
all of us were in the car. We came to church. We came for the 11:30, and like, of course, they were like, should we wear something more
yeah,
appropriate?
Yeah, do we wear
like,
a tie and suit? Yes.
Actually, one of them did say that. I'm like, no,
yes.
just come as you are. Like,
so good.
Yeah.
No one's there to judge you.
So good.
And you know,
so
they came
Joshua.
In, and you know, like, I think the worship was really, I think the worship there was really good. I think, and also that same service, I think we had heard about Ethan's testimony, so that was also God ordained. So like, I think when they showed the scans, they just looked at me like, he did that. I'm like, God did that. Yeah,
wow.
God did that. And they were just like they were like in awe. They were like, this is something that doctors would say
yeah.
would be impossible, but
yeah.
God's done it. So I
wow,
think
sure.
after the service, they just came out. I just asked them, like, you know, I wasn't looking at them during worship. I was like, eyes
yep.
on Jesus. Stuff
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But then like, I was definitely in my heart. It's like, oh, let them be receptive to you, you know?
Yeah.
And I was asking them, and then one of them came up to me and said, like, now I see why you go to church.
Yeah. So like, wow.
I think it is good for them that the seed has kind of been planted, but totally, just to keep watering it, like, speaking about Jesus to them.
So good.
But coming to the evangelism point of things, I think this is more like relationship focused.
Yes, so good. Yes.
Approach that I was going for. I'm still doing it today.
Yes.
Still keep, I think it's like, it's also asking the Holy Spirit, is it an appropriate time to actually share about you?
So good, Joshua.
You just don't go there fierce forward.
It's kind of like what Jess was talking about before of like, I'm evangelizing because I know I need to evangelize, but without the sensitivity of, okay, Holy Spirit, like, who you are now? Yeah. What do you want me to say now? Yeah.
Because I've seen how that has gone the wrong way.
Yeah.
Mm. Because it was at night and one of my friends was an atheist. Who actually came to church, we had this conversation. I was like, I should share about Jesus. And then like, it was like one in the morning, we couldn't sleep. And then like, I was at his place and I just shared about Jesus. And I just asked him, like, what do you think about him? And he comes from Russia. So like, they do believe that he existed.
Right,
but he does not believe in like all these
dead
miracles.
And rise to get real, like, no, he's again, like, and...
But then the thing is, like, it was like a debate, but I don't like to put myself in these sort of situations because it's more like I don't want to ruin that relationship that we have.
Yeah.
And I was like, but the grave's empty. Like, it's the body isn't there. So, like,
where is he gone?
If you believe he's existed, but his body isn't there, he's up in heaven. So then he's like, yeah, sure. I'm like, okay, let's forget about the Bible. Let's talk about like historical manuscripts.
You're an apologist, my friend. He's an apologist. It's awesome.
I mean, like, there's so much of evidence actually supporting the existence of Jesus.
Yep.
Eyewitness accounts from all of his disciples. And also, they'd witnessed that the grave was empty. I mean, it's done. So, I mean, like, we left it at there. But then coming to the point where I think I like the point of evangelism to actually go on the streets and preach. I think it happened when the Circuit Riders came here like earlier this year. So like,
love the Circuit Riders.
Another assist for Jess.
Shout out to Maddie.
So like, she told me to come for the Carry the Love training.
Yes.
And I was like, should I go? Should I not go? And then I was like, okay, I'll go. And I went. We went there. A lot of us from Numa itself. And I was just thinking, I'll just go for the training. I won't go to the city to do any outreach.
Yeah, sure, I won't.
That was my plan in the head. I was like, I'll keep it with me. I'll implement it on campus. And the moment we were in, and you know, they were just simplifying the gospel to actually preach it to people. Mm. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I feel I need to go out in the city and test this out.
Holy Spirit will get you.
Yeah, so like, I think just caught me there in the moment. And I was like, yeah, I can't go home without at least sharing this and trying this out.
So good,
because now it's like you're being equipped to use it.
So
then we went out in the city. We of course were put into groups, so like, you know, we had someone to support each other.
It's a great way to start, like, if you've never, like, I love how you're talking about relational evangelism. Like, there's so many different types of ways of like sharing Jesus, where you've got relational evangelism, so you know, get people that are in your world, your roommate, your classmate, whoever it may be, but then also there's just like witnessing to people like that you don't know. And I think a great way, if you've never done that before, is to go with people who have done it before. That was definitely my experience. And for the first couple of times, I did nothing. I just interceded while they spoke.
Exactly.
And then like Holy Spirit started working me. I was like, I started to, you know, get an impression that, maybe this is like, and then I was like, can I share this? And they're like, yeah. They're like, and then you're like, before you know it, you kind of like, oh, wow, okay, well, and then the next person come, and then I started to feel like this flame of the Lord burning inside, and I'm like, it's good to have someone to kind of do it with the first time. Yeah, it's less intimidating. Yeah.
Yeah. So while we were in the city, of course, I think the people at the Circuit Riders are like, okay, now you know what to do.
Yeah.
Spread out.
Yeah.
And then it was pretty, and you know, if you've seen Melbourne in the night in the city, because I come from Dubai, so I've seen that people are a lot more, you know, they're respectful in terms of, okay, you want to approach them? Okay, we can hear you out. But in the city, like, I was so scared about, you know, them rejecting the gospel, rejecting the truth. But it's going to happen. Like, but God wants us to be at a place of obedience to still put it out there. Doesn't matter. He'll work the rest.
Yeah.
So good, then, man.
Of course, like, there were, like, a few people here and there. We were just figuring out, okay, who should I evangelize? So that person sitting there, I should go and speak to that person.
Come on.
Speak to that person. This happened a couple of times. At least they were willing to hear it. Mm. But they were like, okay, thanks for sharing that. Could you pray for you? Sure. We pray. And that's how it went for most of the night. But I was like...
Sowing seeds.
Sowing seeds. Exactly. So like, I was like, let me at least get someone to at least, you know, like be receptive to him, you know, like...
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think we were actually about to end it and there was like a few minutes left and we were near Flinders itself, near the Ian Porter Center. And
right in the heart of our CBD.
Yeah, so like the stairwell.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so like I saw someone sitting down there and me and another one of those members from the Circuit Riders training event, I just saw this person. I was like, I think I should go speak to him. And he seemed pretty, he was like zoned out. And like, I just went to him and I said like, could I just share the gospel with you? Like, do you know who Jesus is? And
wow.
I was like, yeah, I know Jesus. And so he shared a little bit about his story. Like he was raised Catholic, not very religious.
Yeah.
But he was just there just to like look at some study options in the city of Melbourne.
Wow.
And he was actually leaving the following day. So he was just sitting there and he's from Indonesia. So like, I was like, could I just pray for you? And could I just share the gospel? I think he knew the word gospel, but he didn't know what the gospel was.
Yes, so totally. That's very common.
I shared the gospel with him. And like, you know, I said a very simple prayer. And I think while praying for him, his body started shaking. So I was like, okay. I did not get trained for this.
What do I do now?
This feels really weird. But the thing is, like, I had the Holy Spirit convict me that something was disturbing him. So like, I was is there something that you feel is on your heart? Like you feel there's a burden. Mm. And then he said that I feel that I've fallen short of God's glory.
Wow.
And even I felt pretty emotional there. Like I was like, yeah, because I come from the same place as well. Wow. And I started praying for him and that's when, sorry.
You're so fine, my friend. You carry God's heart for people so beautifully. That's what happens when we encounter someone and we actually get his heart for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have some tissues for you. Oh, I always keep tissues on hand. Normally I'm the one who needs them first.
Yeah, so like I started praying for him and I was like, that's the whole reason he died for you in the first place. So I mean like just... Even I have to keep reminding myself, like, even if I've fallen short, he still died for your sins. Yeah. No matter how big the sin is, no matter what you have done, even if you've repeated that sin a couple of times, like, he still died for you.
Yeah.
Not only he died, he also ascended, rose up from the grave. I think that's another part that people forget. So I kept saying this, you know, like, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you.
Wow.
And then the more I kept saying it, he started like... He kind of like bursted, like outbursted in tears. And then like, after that, I looked at my partner and I was like, okay, did you feel anything while I prayed for you?
Yeah.
And he did feel something.
Mm.
So I was like, that's a good sign. Would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I just put it out there for him.
Come on,
Joshua. I wasn't expecting him to say yes.
Yeah.
But I was like, sure, just, what would you want to do now? And he's like, I feel something. Like,
wow.
I would love to accept. And then, like, that's when, like, I prayed with him again and, you know, like, said a very simple prayer, like, Jesus, like, you know, I believe that you died. I believe you're the Son of God. You died for my sins. And I would love to be on this journey with you. And the moment we finished that prayer, like, he felt so much peace. And I think afterwards, we chatted for a bit. And he did say that I felt you guys were, like, godsend. Because the thing is, like, I was here by myself. And I really felt that I didn't know how my future would look like. Or I felt like I've fallen short.
Wow.
And, I think after hearing that, like, I felt really moved by what he said. And, we kind of like, you know, like I got him connected to the Circuit Riders.
Good job, actually, man.
Keep up with what they're doing.
Yes, discipleship's important. Exactly. To learn more, like,
that's another important thing as well, too.
Yeah.
Because once you come to faith, it's not like, yes, you've been saved, but like, how can you also share that seed of Jesus?
Yeah.
So, like, to actually be equipped, learn on how to do it.
Yeah.
I think I love what Pastor Sri said in that first week for the Win the World Series, to actually, it doesn't matter what fishing rod you have. Mm. It's on how you use it.
Yes.
So I think everyone has different ways.
Yeah.
I tend to look at the way that, you know, like, relationships important.
Yeah.
To get to know the person.
Yep.
Because the moment that person opens up to you, you know Jesus has been missing their whole life.
Yeah.
And the world's definitely hungry for it. And we need to partake in that plan of God to actually share the story of Jesus, what he did, and that he's coming back soon. So, like, we don't have much time, but we'll do what we can.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Woo!
So good.
I feel like we need a praise break. Oh my gosh. Wow. Joshua, thank you for sharing your heart.
Yeah.
How old are you, my friend?
19.
Oh, my gosh. My God. Your whole life ahead of you. Yeah. Your whole life ahead of you. Okay, I'll share all of that after we finish this podcast. I think that the way that even God has made you with your heart to share, but also your very analytical mind, but I say that in a very good way, like you have a way to represent the gospel and argue the gospel, and I mean that not in an argumentative sense, but just in, like, we need to, like, when I hear you speak, it's like we need to know, like, how to actually explain the questions that people are asking, things like, you know, well, if there's a God, why is there bad things happen, like, why do bad things happen in the world, these kind of things. I really see such a grace on your life for that, even growing even more, like 19. Wow, my friend. Wow. Okay. See, all the wows, they just come out. It's how it happens. All right, Jack, you are a student and you're a student in our Bible College, Newman School of the Spirit.
That's right.
Here. And I'm going to ask you the same question. Like, what you obviously, so for those of you who don't know, as part of our Newman School of the Spirit, every Thursday, basically we have like some kind of street activation. So go out and share or community service. If you come to School of the Spirit, you will learn how to share Jesus and then you will spend some time sharing him as part of school. But before school, was it something that you had ever done, Jack, like in your family growing up? Or
I was about to say no.
Okay.
Realize straight away that growing up in church, it's always been serve the church and serve the community, which has been important. which is important. It's really good, and so I carried that heart into school, and so had the privilege of being school captain in year 12 and year 10, year 11, serving in different areas within the school to help serve other people. And I really feel that was God refining my heart to really care for other people, to really show people the Father's heart.
Yeah.
Even before you have to say anything.
Yeah.
Which I think was really
so good.
Really foundational that I need just for evangelism anywhere. So I'd eventually start running Bible studies. We ran Alpha for I think half a year at one point.
At school,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, come on.
It was a Christian college.
Yeah, so but it doesn't mean
the teachers were very supportive, good.
That's good.
But it's also the
lots of kids. Yeah. I went to a Christian school but wasn't from a family of faith and found faith through school. So it's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it feels like everyone there thinks they already know who Jesus is.
Knowing about God and knowing God are two very different things.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that was evangelism before coming.
Great, man.
To Numa.
That's amazing. Yeah. I did not know that. I learned new things in this podcast. So good. And then recently you were out on the street with another friend of mine, Alyssa, who's also doing School of Spirit this year. And you guys had, I think it's maybe one of the wildest testimonies. And just, I was, even as you guys were sharing with me, as Alyssa was telling me the story, I felt like I could feel the love of Father, like the love of Father God, even as she was sharing the testimony. So goodness knows what it would have been like for this beautiful man receiving. But maybe you can just share that testimony of you guys were out in the streets near our campus, our main location in Melbourne, sharing Jesus.
Yeah, so we were just walking down Church Street. We'd broken off into two groups of four.
I think that's important. I'm going to pause there. Because sometimes when we go out, it's like you go out in like a group of four or five. It can be quite overwhelming. Yeah. Like it can be almost like someone might feel like they're a bit mobbed. So I think twos and threes is like a good number.
Yeah, so there were eight of us all together that morning. So it's like we're going out. It's like, all right, half of us will cross the road. Yep. And then
we'll sort of split up.
Yeah. So it was like, sort of have two going forward, two coming back.
Yeah.
But before we'd even split up, there'd been a gentleman who'd walk past us.
Oh, wow.
I didn't even notice him, but Lucas calls out from the other side of the road.
He's another student.
And it's like, Alyssa, and points to the guy. And she's like, and I'm like, all right, let's go. It's like chasing after him. But he's dragging his leg along. And honestly, it looks like he's in quite a bit of pain. Mm. And from the get-go, it's really easy to say right off the bat, hey, I saw your leg sore. Can I pray for you? But then you're not exactly making a connection with the person. It's like you're trying to...
So good, Jack.
You're trying to see the healing as something that you can achieve.
So good, mate.
Which is not the Father's heart.
So good.
So, and my mum was talking to me about that before day.
Wow. Go mum.
And yeah, go mum. Awesome. So we come up to him and I'm like, hey mate, how are you going?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
So good, Jack.
And even just as I say that, he's taken away that even someone would stop and talk to him. He goes on to say that he's been here since November last year, can't drive, can't get Centrelink, can't get any support payment-wise from the government, and is living with his cousin in one of the commission housing. Yeah. And it's like, I've been here since November last year and no one's really talked to me. There's no churches nearby which is like, we're just around the corner.
We're like four blocks from here, guys.
But that's the sad thing about it. It's like,
that's it.
He's been here since November last year and he hasn't met anyone, which is like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Come on.
We're working on it.
It's true. Which is very true.
Yeah. Anyway, we get to talk to him. We say, we notice that you were kind of walking with a bit of a hobble. Yeah. What's going on there? And so he tells us he's got lower back, like a spine misalignment or something, or disc misalignment. I can't exactly remember what it is.
Yeah.
He's sitting down at this point, because we don't want to keep him standing. We get to pray for him. We keep talking. It's like telling him about, I guess, the Father's heart for, like, really speaking life into him, speaking a few identity things, but also that God has more for him.
Hope.
In the coming time, yeah. And so we get to pray for him again. Mm-hmm. And then he stands up and is like,
wow, praise God.
He stomps his leg and it's like, the pain is gone. Like, we can still see that there's a little bit of like immobility still, but it's like the pain is completely gone.
Wow.
Completely healed. Or in Jesus' name by now. but yes, it's
so he
it
had
was
a huge
incredible.
Bit of mobility returned to his leg and then the pain completely gone.
Yeah.
And Alyssa was telling me, like, even as you guys were sharing just about how much Jesus loved him and how much Father God loved him, that he kind of sat down because he was being almost looked like receiving waves of like God's love.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important, like what you were saying, people are not a project.
Mm.
They're God's children and they're to be honored and loved because he honors and loves them. And so even when we're approaching people, like whether it's street ministry or whatever, we're doing that because we want to share the heart of the Father. Like, people are not a project and someone's healing is not about, oh, like we saw this happen. Like the only reason we're testifying is for the glory of God to say, come on, God, do it again.
Yeah.
But that people are not projects, and that to actually connect with the person first. Because I think even when you see someone that has an injury, it can be obviously if someone is unwell or injured, like God's heart for them is to receive the fullness of life, including healing. So we do believe for healing, but sometimes God wants to do something on their heart.
Yeah.
Or sometimes like there's a need that they have.
Yep.
So we do have to be really sensitive to Holy Spirit in terms of like what it is actually that he wants us to connect.
Yeah.
Connect to in them. So I love that you guys were sensitive to that and just like, hey, like tell us your story, like where are you at, what's happening? And then as you're having that conversation, he like and he's being touched by God, then afterwards realizes that his leg has been in part healed.
Which was really good.
And did you get to share the gospel with him?
He said he's already like of faith. And so even when we started praying, he did like the cross the chest.
He asked himself like the Catholic faith,
Which is cool. So I asked him, hey, do you have a Bible?
Yeah.
And this was really weird because I do not usually bring my Bible out on the streets.
Yeah, wow.
The week before, we'd done like a thing in Revival Lifestyle where it's like grab a verse and preach it. So I'm like, okay, maybe the Lord's wanting me to I'm like not really wanting to, but if that's what you want, then but the Lord says, ask him if he's got a Bible.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, please say yes. hey, mate, I just feel to ask, have you got a Bible, like either at home or have do you have one? And it's like, no, I don't. And immediately God said, well, offer it to him. I'm like, okay.
Because if you know Jack, like you know he loves his Bible. He loves his Bible. I mean, we all love our Bible, but your Bible, it's something so precious, right? A lot of us are like that. It's like your Bible is so personal. So how did you feel about that?
Afterwards, it was just God reminding me, there's nothing I don't want you to hold back from me.
Wow, Jack.
And that's even, it's like just being able to be generous. In that space, which is really
it's
good.
It's the character of Jesus again. Hey, it's one thing to be like, we'll come back next week and we'll give you a Bible, and it's the heart response of like, hey, this is something that I so love and so dear to me, but you can have it because you're loved and you're dear to the Father. Like that's what you're saying. Like as you're giving that, praise God.
Really good.
Yes, more Jesus, more.
And then the next week, all right, we go out as a staff. So usually as part of School of Spirit, we all gather staff and students or staff of the church, have a chapel service.
Like a chapel service. We worship, share the word.
But this week we all went out on the streets together, partnered up.
Yes, we did.
Which was awesome. Now, this is only a context for what I want to say, but we got to see another woman, or not another woman, but a woman healed of lower back pain and leg, at the exact, on that day. Astrid and I, as we were praying, praying with someone and talking with them beforehand, which is important, but we got to pray for her, and of like at the age of 27, she had a stroke while giving birth, and she was completely healed of that. She even jumped, and it's like, didn't even know you could jump at that age. But she had
from this, from the stroke that she had during childbirth, her pain in her back.
And so for for quite a few years, she'd have been carrying that pain around, and we got to pray for her, and she was completely healed in that moment. Thursday morning, all right, we go back out in the streets
again. That's Wednesday night. Wednesday afternoon.
That was Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, so Thursday morning,
Thursday morning, all right. We're on the streets again, all right. And I see this person in a wheelchair. But my first thought is, I want to go pray for them, not I want to go make the connection with Jesus. And so even then, it's like, we all fall short, and it's like, just coming back to the Father in repentance. And it's just so quick. He's just so quick to extend the forgiveness to us.
Yes.
It's like, I know. And you're going to learn from this. And
yes. So good.
Yeah, really drilling down that, no, we are here to meet the needs of each and every person.
Yeah.
We're not just to look
outwardly or
or with in the physical even.
Yeah. Wow, man.
Which was,
that's so important.
Yeah.
I love that you bring and share that heart. And it's so right. They're like, we're doing it good. We're doing it good one moment. And then they're like, oh, whoops, I forgot that. But it's true. Like not to be like you know, or and it's the same, like sometimes it's like that prompting and I'm like, oh, and I hesitate for too long and then the door's closed and it's like, oh, yeah, moment's gone. And you're like, oh, but not to fall under any shame or condemnation. Yeah, yeah, they're like, yeah, he's a good father. And the analogy that I always kind of have in my mind when moments happen like that myself is like, when you see a dad like helping a toddler learn to walk, mm-hmm, and the toddler, like a, let's say a good father, and the toddler's walking and he's like taking a few steps and the dad kind of lets go and he takes two steps and he falls over. The dad's not like, oh, you should know how to walk. Like, why are you not walking? Like, well, it's so easy. Put one foot in front of the other. The dad's like, oh my gosh, you took one step. Yay. He's like, let me come and help you up and like help you keep walking. And that's what it's like in discipleship in all areas. It's just, that's the kind of dad we have. Like that kind of father's heart is the one that God carries. Not shameful, not condemning, but just so encouraging. And yeah, and that he's there just cheering us on. Is number one, he is our number one cheerleader in these things. So good, Jack. Thank you. All right. We actually went out on the street that day, Amy. And we shared with a guy who was working in a shop where you would not often think Jesus would be, in an adult toy shop, let's say it like that. And we went in there and I've shared Jesus a few times with different people in that space. And we saw this one gentleman. We went in and we're just like, hey, we're just praying for healing today. We believe Jesus can heal. We've seen him healing people. Is there anything that we can pray for you for? And he actually said like, oh no, I don't have any, I think he said, I don't have any pain. I said, do you have any pain in your body or something? Okay. Any physical pain? Yeah, he said, oh, no, I don't have any physical pain, and kind of left it hanging. Yeah. And I said, oh, I said something like the heart ones are the hardest, like are the hardest. So I just asked if like we could pray for him, and he was like, yep. And I'm like, could we pray for you? Like, would it be okay to pray for you now? And he's like, yep. And then just stood there and was like, just looked at you like this. And so you just have to pray like, God, I just thank you so much for John, wasn't John, but John, and that Jesus, you love him, you've got a plan and a purpose for his life. And yeah, it was really funny. That's something actually Pastor Don taught me in San Francisco, to just actually pray the prayer to the person. It can be very powerful. Like, I think sometimes we're so conditioned by church environments. It's like, okay, here we are, like Jesus. It's like, that means nothing for them. You know, you have to do something that's so relatable. Like, so in that case, I mean, he was on the other side of this huge desk, so it wasn't like I could put a hand on a shoulder or anything like that, but just looked at him and was like, shared what I felt on my heart, that Jesus, like right into his eyes. I think that's so powerful. Yeah. Anyway, and then after this prayer, was like, yeah, I know it doesn't look like it from where I'm working or, you know, my lifestyle or whatever, but I actually go to church every Sunday. And we're like, oh, wow, tell us like more about that. Yeah. So he had some, I don't know, level of faith or idea about God, or anyway, we're just able to sort of share with him that Jesus loves him and sent us here today for this very reason. And anyway, long story short, but basically was ended by saying to Amy and I like, oh, well, feel free to come back anytime. Like, even if just to pray. We were like, we'll be back. Thanks for the invitation. We're taking it. It was lots of fun. But we have you in Melbourne for a little while, but you've been staying, Amy, in San Francisco as part of Pneuma San Francisco with Pastor Don and Hannah for a little while, on and off for a little while now. And oh my gosh, what the Lord is not doing in that city, in the area of evangelism. I know there's so much to share. So you could share probably 1,000 stories. But maybe you can share a little bit. I mean, even for what it was like, even what it was like for you to share Jesus before going to San Francisco, and then what that has looked like for you now. And then you have a beautiful testimony to share with us.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I feel like what I want to share about what my journey was before going to San Francisco actually echoes what you've all said.
Yeah, come on.
Today. And definitely what you're saying then, Jack. I remember a few years ago, I kind of was like, okay, Lord, I know I'm meant to evangelize. Like,
yeah, we all know we're meant to, right? Yeah.
I do it. I'll go out. I'll do it. That's fine. But I was like, Lord, I know there's something missing. Like, why? Number one, why am I not doing it as frequently as probably I should?
Yeah, wow.
But number two, why do I just feel like I'm not carrying your heart when I do it?
Wow.
And I still remember exactly where I was and like what I know the date and everything.
Wow.
Where the Lord just fully revealed to me that it was because I didn't carry a heart of love for the people that I walked past. I would have walked down the street and I'd happily walk past people who needed the Lord because I didn't have a revelation of his love for them.
Yeah.
And so I remember just repenting and just being like, Lord, I'm so sorry because you actually command us to love one another.
Yeah.
And I completely have missed it. In,
wow.
In the whole thing of just trying to be like a good Christian, perfect Christian, all the things, I actually missed the main thing.
Wow.
Of love. And I remember once I caught that revelation, it's like walking past people.
Yeah, you can't
like,
help it.
Now it's like, I love them. And it's just like, hey, Lord, do you actually want me to say something now?
Yeah, or am so
I just
going to
go like chat to them just because?
Yes. And I've seen you do that many times. I've seen you stop many times and just have a chat with people and be like, okay, have a good day. Yeah.
That's it. And it's just being able to love on people. I think that was the major thing that had to switch in me.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was not long before I went to San Francisco. That was within the same year. So once I got to San Francisco and we didn't have a building.
Yes.
We didn't
this is a church plant, guys.
Yes. Started with knowing no one in the city.
Yeah,
we didn't
true.
Know anyone.
Yep.
So our whole ministry, I suppose, even though it was just our life, it was on the street.
Yep. Worship, prayer, and then streets.
Exactly. Everything was outside. It was in cafes, out in the open. Mm-hmm. And the amount I learned through like Pastor Don and Pastor Hannah, praying to people, sometimes just wouldn't even ask if we could pray for them, just looking directly in the eye and go for it.
We love Pastor Don.
Where that is, but just the beauty of actually just being in the community and loving a community.
Yeah.
It's blown my mind. And I think also with that, in the story that I'll share in a moment, it's the Lord uses all of us in unity that it's not actually reliant, like, I don't always have to take someone from hello to kingdom come. Like,
we'll be done all year.
Like, praise God when that happens. Yeah. It's the most beautiful thing. But God often uses like all of us in the different moments to make that happen. I'll share the story.
Yeah, please.
This is kind of like a story that happened over the course of, I don't know if it was a year or 9 months.
And I love that because sometimes it is a moment.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it is a journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, man. So we were on a prayer walk. It was Pastor Don and I in the neighborhood of Hay Asper in San Francisco. You can look it up, look up the history.
Pray for it, guys.
Pray for it. I love that neighborhood.
Yes.
But we're just walking. We're just prayer walking. Nothing fancy. Just chatting, praying, all the things.
Happens in the ordinary.
Very ordinary. Yes. We pretty much just see this lady coming out of this parking lot and she's just like closing the gate and everything. So we just go up and start chatting to her. We no major plans. We're like, okay, we're prayer walking. Yeah, we'll probably ask if we can pray for her. But no, there's no major plans.
Yeah, no angels appeared. No rainbow. No, yeah.
Yes. So we start chatting to her. And she is a little bit hesitant at first, but then just shares her whole life story.
Oh, wow.
And did the classic, like, oh, I don't know why I'm sharing this. And inside we're like, okay, we do, but we'll let you know later. I'll fill you in later. But she had a whole life story and pretty much she wasn't from the United States originally, but she moved there. She got excommunicated by her family. Wow. A lot of betrayal and trust, everything was pulled out from underneath her. And she got to this place, she was fully alone. She moved to San Francisco just pursuing a lifestyle that she thought she'd find community in.
Yeah.
And she'd been in San Francisco 3 years at this point. And had not found community. Cool. She felt so alone. She was just sharing about how alone she felt and how betrayed she felt just by people over and over again. So she's sharing all this and we pray for her. We just offer her our numbers, like, hey, we get together with people often, we do games nights, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
If you just want community.
The gift of community.
Yeah. Here you go. She had some religious experience that had caused her to be quite opposed to anything in that space. But we just gave her a number and said, hey, reach out if you ever want. We didn't see her, hear from her for a couple months. Mm-hmm. Then some of the other Numa San Francisco team, Pastor Don and some of the other team, a few months later actually ran into her.
Wow.
And they're like, oh my goodness, good to see you, all the things. And there was actually going to be a games night that we're having that week.
Oh,
so invited her along
it's
to
like
that.
The Lord set it up perfectly.
Yes, exactly. We came along to that. And she told us like it's the first time she's ever by herself stepped into someone else's home because that was very vulnerable for her to be in a place that wasn't.
As a single female and
exactly. And so That was a huge thing. Wow. She started coming to every single gathering. Anytime we would have lunch, she'd gather around the table. She'd come hang out. And she would mention to us often, she's like, hey, I'm not into what you believe in.
Religious stuff.
Yeah, not religious. I do acknowledge, though, someone has been looking after me my whole life, and I'm open to finding out if that's Jesus. So she began to say that and just open up her heart. Wow. She was still like, I'm not believing anything. Yeah. She made that very clear, but she was open, and she would just come along, sit around the table. She had chronic migraines, and a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old and their mom prayed for her. A month later, we find out she had not had migraines since that point. The Lord had healed her.
Thank you, Jesus.
Which is incredible.
Thank you, Jesus.
And mind you, that was a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Yep.
The Lord is not confined to age.
No,
at all.
He is not. No junior Holy so Spirit, powerful. We say.
Yes.
Wow.
So, yeah, she's just coming and she starts calling us her family. She had just come hang out. And, yeah, she'd sit around here about the Lord all the time.
I love that when you said, Ames, about her saying, someone's been looking after me my whole life and I'm open to knowing if that's Jesus. Yeah. I think so many people have an idea of that there probably is something beyond what I can see or like touch, but I'm not really sure what that is. And I love it's just like one little crack in the door. The Lord's like, yep. Yes, I want to reveal myself. That's his whole heart. Yeah. I love it. Just a crack.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And then she... this is actually a couple weeks ago. She had said to some of the fam over there that she believes in nature, and that's kind of she can, that makes sense to her.
Yeah.
And she loves nature. So do I. So I was like, I feel you. But she loves nature, and she actually went camping, and she went with her partner and then her partner's friend, and they're on a camping trip for like 8 days and in a beautiful place. And while she was there, her neighboring campsite people, whatever you want to call them, the other campers, they were a group of Catholics. And this is, love this story because of how many different people were
there. Yes.
But they were a group of Catholics. And every day, same day, super like just on time, they would begin to pray and worship.
Wow.
So she would just go sit because it was familiar, because it was kind of like what we would do. So it was, she would just go sit and just listen and glean from, they were doing it. It was beautiful. And on the 8th day, she was sitting there, and she explains it as though she all of a sudden just felt like she wasn't there anymore. Like, almost, she's like, I kind of had an out-of-body experience.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, where she could see herself. She could see in front of herself, but she could also see herself from behind. And she was sitting there, and she heard the Lord say, yes, you love nature, but I'm the one who created nature. She saw the Lord. She saw this radiating light, and that this bit gets me every time. She saw the cross from behind her, and the cross actually, she saw it come and pass through her. Wow. And she began to feel like a burning sensation on her back that was there for a couple of hours. So much so, she said to her partner, she was like, can you check my back? Like, I feel something there. He checked, he's like, there's nothing there. I don't know what's happening. But she could feel the burning sensation, and she encountered the Lord so beautifully. Afterwards, this is so like Acts 2. She began just speaking in like not comprehensively. She was just talking, and her partner was like filming her thinking she was drunk. Like, oh, this is really funny, because she's just like speaking in random languages and just saying things that don't make sense to them. She began to feel wind come off the river. And she's like, guys, can you feel that wind? No one else could feel anything. She's feeling this wind. She's having this glorious encounter with the Lord. Wow. She's speaking in tongues.
Yes.
She just gives her heart to the Lord and acknowledges. I forgot that part. when she actually started having this encounter was when that group of Catholics began singing Jesus is Lord. So she acknowledged Jesus as Lord.
Wow.
The next day, she wakes up and she's just like professing to her partner and to their friend, you know, this is all real. It's true. And they actually apologized, said, so sorry for mocking you, because we thought you were just drunk. But they actually like just acknowledged and said, we're so sorry. And she's like, no, this is real. And she just, the rest of the day, continued to encounter God. And she said, that she, the world just looked brighter and clearer. Like colors started coming back for her. She felt like a child. The whole road trip home, she kept asking them to stop so she could buy candy because she felt like a kid.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
And the world just transformed her. And I'm blown away that he just used so many different people. But yeah. Number one, it was about an encounter with him. Yeah. It wasn't actually about, no person actually did anything.
Yeah.
It was the encounter with God.
And just the gift of community.
Him. Yeah.
Like the gift of community. Mm-hmm. Didn't try and get her across any line, didn't try and force anything. It was just like, yeah, come sit with us in the cafe. And I think also the nature of Christ, which is I'm so grateful that he is my rock and my foundation. He is the solid thing in my life. And I feel like that's the representation that you guys were. Even it was like you were consistent. Like the first time you met her, you presented something to them, like community, et cetera. And then when you came back, like they, here you are again, just kind of found her another time. It was that same like, yeah, we're doing, like, this is what we do. This is who we are, like that consistency. And then, you know, whether it's offering friendship within the group that you are, like let's help you in this time and how are you going, et cetera. It's just like, faithful, consistent Jesus, faithful, consistent, it does, consistent Jesus. And I think sometimes in like relational evangelism, we underestimate how otherworldly faithfulness and consistency is. And I know for people that have had a lot of like trauma in the area of trust, and I say that like, yeah, from experience of it, you, even when you feel like, I know, to actually trust, faithfulness and consistency is like the key to that, to that door. And so even you guys doing this and then the meeting, like this Catholic group who are like, oh, this is kind of like the same thing. Like even that there's a consistency with like, oh yeah, like they're worshiping and praying and they're worshiping and praying. And then the Lord's like here I am. Okay. Oh, through nature. I mean, there's a script. There's literally like the scripture that says, and I can't remember where it is in the Bible, like if anyone knows, jump in, but like that creation is created to reveal like him. Yeah. So I love that she's like, yeah, I'm really drawn to creation. Then God himself quotes scripture. It's like when you're looking at like genuine encounter, it's like he himself is presenting her with scripture that she doesn't even know. Yeah. But like, okay, this is like him. He is the word. He's not going to contradict himself. Like he's presenting himself to her in a way that means so much to her. Mm-hmm. That she finds safe, and like he's actually quoting scriptures. It's like, it's mind blowing. Wow. Okay. There is such a beautiful presence of God in here. And I guess like these are just some of the stories that has happened during just some of the weeks that we have been doing this. But I know that our heart is like, what if every believer, empowered by the Holy Spirit, sensitive to his leading, would share Jesus just in their everyday, ordinary lives, whatever you're doing at uni, walking the street, you know, we don't have to be some crazy gifted, you know, whatever anointed evangelist. It's like God wants to use you. He wants to use me in our very normal, ordinary lives. And we don't have to do it alone. Like he's given us the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it looks like sowing a seed. Sometimes it looks like watering a seed. Sometimes it looks like the harvest. Sometimes it looks like just being faithful, loving community to someone who is so alone. Like he places the lonely families. It's like, you know, whatever the part is that he's inviting you to play, we can just be confident that as we are just obedient, that he will use it and do something with it, whether we see the outcome or we don't see the outcome. Oh, guys. Okay. So we're going to continue to share testimonies. We want to hear, and maybe you guys can continue to share, even maybe this podcast or this YouTube clip, copy it, send it to someone. Maybe you want to share in your life group just about what's been happening or at your university or within your family around the dinner table. Just keep sharing. What he is doing, the word testimony, we kind of covered at the beginning, but it means like God, do it again in the same authority and in the same power. And we really believe that sharing testimony not only glorifies God, but releases him to do it again. So we want to keep hearing your testimonies. You can send them in to us at newman.church/pray. You can DM us on whatever Instagram channel you follow. Our team would love to collect your testimonies, but please do share them among one another, like where you find yourself. and you can see just today, it's so simple. Like it's so simple. And you can just feel God like stir something inside of me, definitely, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm like, we need to get another 8 people in here to do this again. That's all right. I'll do it in my life group in the next couple of weeks. Guys, if you still are like, oh man, God has really been burdening my heart for this, but you're unsure about where to start, we have so many resources available and it's our heart to see you equipped just to take the first one step. Like if you've never been on a street team, start there. If you're not really sure how to articulate the gospel, start there. You can grab them from our website, newmount.church, and start just from the start, wherever you are. It's okay. You don't need to be in some amazing place. We just start where God is burdening your heart for. Yeah. So that's about it from us. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. It's been lots of